Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Let's talk with Neil Atkinson from the Anfield Wrap. Morning to you, Neil.
Good morning, Steve.
Seems inconceivable that this could go wrong. It does in my head, anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
There's lots of ways.
I'm not allowing even the vaguest thought of that to happen.
Can I try to fill you with some doubt? Do you want me to try and fill you with some doubt?
Yeah, but that's your objective today.
That's not my objective. My objective is to say this is not going to be easy. This is going to be Liverpool's toughest game of the season because Roma don't need to come and play football. The thing about playing Manchester City is that Manchester City will play a certain way. Yes, they'll adapt a little bit for Liverpool. Pep Guardiola will adapt a little bit for Jurgen Klopp. But they will still want to come and be Manchester City. The fact of the matter is that Roma can come and be whoever they want. It doesn't matter. They know they come here as second favourites across the two legs. They know that that's the case. That's the first thing. The second thing that they know, though, is that Liverpool have at times suffered this season against a side who keeps a low block, frustrates them, looks to get set pieces and looks just to get out in patches. And they haven't got to worry about the Roma manager. Yes, he's got a certain way of playing, but it hasn't been, for instance, like Guardiola, where it's ingrained in them. This is how we play. This is what we do. This is who we are. And I'm expecting something that's very similar to the idea of playing, I think, with poorer players, but the idea of playing Manchester United home and away is what this will be. So I think there's every chance we're 0-0 at half time and we're all getting increasingly frustrated, and it's Roma looking to do a bit of a job of quieting the crowd. And I think that's the key question for Liverpool is can they overcome that, either in the first half? Can they make Roma dizzy the way in which they've made some sides dizzy this season, including sides who've come to Anfield to sit in?
I think they've got better against those sides throughout the course of the season.
No doubt, but it only needs one bit of an off night. It only needs the keeper to have a worldie. It only needs Liverpool's finishing to be just not quite 100%. And then when you do get the odd opportunity, if you begin to snatch at them and you don't take them. Listen, Liverpool should be favourites across the two legs. But the other thing that will happen as well is that Roma will know. They'll have something in their mind, which is that we don't need to win it tonight. I think that this is a very much so, unlike the Man City one in the way it eventually played out, but also I think in reality, Liverpool sort of beat Man City in one leg. I think the Stadio Olimpico is your key leg in this one. No matter what happens plausibly, even if it's 3-0 Liverpool tonight, I still think that the Stadio Olimpico, Roma will go into that game thinking, we can win 3-0. We can win 3-0 and then get them into extra time.
What, because of the Barcelona factor that sort of lingers in their
head?
Partially
because of the Barcelona factor, but also, again, I think that it was really interesting, Manchester City. Manchester City all but acknowledged they had to score 5 goals. That's one of your key things about Manchester City. It was the first thing Vincent Kompany said straight after the game. We can win 5-1 at home. We didn't say we can win 4-0 at home. We said we can win 5-1 at home. And that they basically said Liverpool will score. I think Roma will have the attitude of, much more so than Manchester City did, they'll have the attitude of 0-0 at half-time is fine. 0-0 on 60 is fine. Because all we've got to do is make it 1-0 on 65. If Liverpool are ahead, say, by 2 or 3 goals from the first leg, all we've got to do is make it 1-0 on 65. If it's 1-0 on 65, it can be 2-0 on 75. And if it's 2-0 on 75, well, we all know the way that football match goes from that direction. Yes, Liverpool perhaps trying to hit on the break, but in reality, Roma just turning the screw and turning the screw. And I think they'll be better at that than Manchester City. I mean, when Liverpool played Manchester City in that second leg, they hadn't scored a goal after an hour in a football match for over 10 games. And I think that in general there was a question, and there still is a question about their stamina in second halves at the minute, Man City, but they've been so good in first halves. But what happened in the way that second leg played out was Manchester City scored in the first minute and then didn't score again for the rest of the half. And what that meant was that Pep Guardiola went in at half time, got himself sent off because he's just watched his team not score for 44 minutes. And I think that Roma will have a different outlook right the way through. I think Roma will be able to have more of a European outlook, and I think they'll be able to have more of a almost playing the game in blocks of 5 and blocks of 10, which is what Liverpool did against Manchester City in the second half at Anfield especially, but also a little bit in the first half at the Etihad. And I think that that's, you know, so I think that anyone
You're
who
doing
thinks,
well with your job here. You're making me believe that 1-0 isn't even good enough anymore.
Well, no, I think Liverpool win 1-0 tonight, that's a great result. 1-0 is a great result for Liverpool tonight, because what I keep saying is all that, I think what we've got to have in our minds is
unless
you take a clean sheet, but also unless something unlikely happens, like a ridiculous Liverpool victory happens, this will not be over in the Stadio until we play the second leg in the Stadio Olimpico. We can get beat 2-1 tonight and I think we'll go through.
What is the scoreline that does mean it's over?
4-0. Right. Liverpool got to win. If Liverpool win 4-0, then I think you can say, listen, Roma at that point have got to score 4 across 90 minutes, and Liverpool score at any time, they've got to score 6. Mm. And I think that what you'd see is it'd be, you know, that I think that would get them. But I think 4-0 is the only thing, and I don't see 4-0 happening in that Roma are not going to come to Anfield and concede 4. They're going to make it really, really difficult. Look to snatch territory, look to get set pieces, look to be really rather ugly. You know, I think we're going to get a far uglier European performance from Roma than we did from the English side, Manchester City. So, but what I'd say is the flip side of this is, as I say, if we get beat 2-1 tonight, if they snatch 2 from a set piece and we get 1 back, we can still go through. We're still in that. You know, we can back ourselves to get a result in Rome. We can think we're good enough to beat them. And I think that this is now the difference between being the second, being the underdog and the favourite. I think we're the favourite for this over the two legs. What that means is Roma have got to find a way to stop Liverpool from playing for half an hour in any 180 minutes of this game. Exactly what terrified me about Liverpool facing Barcelona and still worries me about Liverpool facing Madrid, but it now won't happen over two legs. If you give Messi 180 minutes, he finds a way most times. Most times, it didn't happen against Roma, but if you give Messi 180 minutes, he's brilliant and he finds a way. Suarez finds a way. You know, they find a way, these players. Ronaldo finds a way. You give Ronaldo 180 minutes to take a tie away from you, he can find a way. Well, Roman have got to worry about Mo Salah, and they've got to worry about Roberto Firmino, and they've got to worry about Sadio Mane. They've got to keep them quiet for 180 minutes.
They've got as many worries, haven't they, as the other side. Right, we shouldn't wallow in this idea that you know, fans haven't seen anything for the past 10 years. We've had plenty of excitement. We might not have had cup successes, but we've had plenty of excitement.
Yeah.
But I had an interesting chat with Paul Machin from Red Men TV, who was talking about a new generation of fans who don't really remember the, you know, the Rafa Benitez era or the 2008-2009, which again, I find a little bit odd in my head because it feels like that should be yesterday, but actually it's totally right, isn't it? There's a group of 17, 18, 19-year-olds
older
their own history creators.
Older even than that. I work with a load of them. So Craig Hannon, who works with us, is 20, he's 25, and Sean and Josh are in their early 20s. And what's striking is that, in 2005... Mm. You know, therefore, in 2005, you know, that's 13 years ago. So,
well, Lizzie, who comes on the Anfield rap, doesn't remember 2001.
No. So Craig's 12 at the time of Istanbul, and he remembers Istanbul. Of course he does, and they remember Istanbul, but they don't experience it. And what there is, and hopefully there's as many of them in the ground as possible, and listen, if you've got a spare ticket tonight, look to give it to someone who's aged, I'd say between 16 and 30. You know, a man or woman aged between 16 and 30, look for them and give it to them, because I think that's you know, I was 25 at the time of 05. I was 27, 26 at the time of 07, 24 at the time of 05. And I think that you know, it's this idea that there's a generational thing here of a new load of Liverpool supporters who are getting to experience this for the first time and getting the excitement of it for the first time. And I think that's something really wonderful and really rather precious.
Important.
To be honest with you. And it's important
for the club.
And it's important for the club, but it's also important for the atmosphere tonight. Mm. Let's be honest about this. You know, you get more atmosphere out of under 30s than you do out of over 30s. Me and you might not like that, but it's true. And they're the people who'll be going absolutely bananas tonight in that ground, and who'll need this more than want it, and want it for all time. And that's where...
Is the reality of the crowd tonight, though, that it's not going to be of that demographic and age?
Well, I think it has been more during this European run, and I think it's certainly been, you know, I couldn't believe the youthfulness that was on show away at Manchester City. The away crowd at Man City was really, really young in a startlingly pleasing way. The reality in general is that, yes, I would argue that the Anfield crowd is, the average age is too high, and that, you know, I would push further for, you know, I mean, we're back having a very big conversation, but, you know, I am firmly in favour of safe standing at Anfield, but one of the things I would do around safe standing at Anfield would be to oblige that any safe standing section was at a 35-year-old cut-off, and I know that would cut me off, but I think that, you know, a way to get younger people in the ground who are prepared to stand up would be no bad thing. And I think the same thing about any Anfield Road extension is that it should be genuinely targeting people under 30 and getting them in the ground and pulling that average age down, because that's what you want and need. And one of the problems that Anfield's had in recent years is the inability to migrate people around the ground in the way in which, you know, the old style journey of this was you did the cop until you couldn't handle it anymore and you went and sat in the main stand. Now there's lots and lots of people on the cop, and trust me, they'll be very loud tonight, the people on the cop, no shadow of a doubt about that, but there's lots and lots of people who are on the cop who in a week in week out sense would perhaps quite enjoy a little bit of a main stand, centenary stand seat, but don't have the option of it and also want to stay with the friends. And I think all of this is sort of it's almost the intractable problem for Liverpool. But one of the things they can do is, for instance, take a firm line in favour of safe standing, take it early, see it as the direction of travel and lead on that, and that's what the club should be doing. And they should also be extending the Anfield Road. I think if they lead on those two things, then everything else can follow, and they'll also get an enormous amount of goodwill and buy-in from the supporters. But what to, you know, to go back to the core part of this is that it's great that there is a younger generation of supporters who are getting to experience this for the first time, and with this football team, who are, you know, the Benitez 0405 side was very much one held together with a good spine. Steven Gerrard, but a bit of spit and string, and Benitez's genius around the edges, and we all know that. That's
held together by a superstar.
Held together by
is this team held together by a superstar?
No, and that's the thing. The thing is, it's held together by about five of them, and that is
five superstars.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on, name them.
Well, I think that you can make a really firm argument. You know, going right the way through that. Through this European run now, that, you know, you've got Van Dijk, you've got the front three, and I think you're beginning to be able to say, at least in European competition, no one wants to play against Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in Europe. They don't like what he does, they don't like what he is, the sort of footballer that he is. But even around the edges of that, you know, I think it's probably fair to say that even right now in his career, Trent Alexander-Arnold is a better right back than Hosomi ever was. He may not be as good as Steve.
Right, very quick, we've got to get to the top of the hour. Three in midfield, obviously Henderson, Ox.
I think he'll pick Milner. And
I'd go with that.
I wouldn't have a problem with picking Milner.
Lovely. Neil, thank you very much.
Rock, sport and talk.
This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.